Arden. I'm good, cowboy. A stupid prank, that's all.
We don't know that for sure.
No boogeyman sends you notes before they strike. And I'll be careful. Promise. As Link stared at me, I knew he didn't believe me. And the worry in his hazel eyes put me on edge. Not because it meant he cared, but because I knew what it was like to lose that care after having it. Knew what it was like to have your world ripped out from under you with no warning. And I never wanted to feel that again. Wanda bumped along the gravel road as I headed into town. My windows were rolled down, letting the summer breeze blow through the cab. Brutus was in heaven, his head out the window, ears flopping in the wind. I reached over and gave his hind end a scratch, making his tail thump. This was it. All I needed. The fresh air, my dog, my truck, my work. I didn't need dark, avenging angels who woke things in me that were terrifying beyond measure. Even if every cell of my being came alive at his touch. Even if he was the only person who'd made me feel completely safe for the first time in over a decade. Just thinking about how Link made me feel had annoyance coursing through me. How dare he waltz into my life and flip it on its head? How dare he make me realize everything I'd been missing with my walls sky high? My phone rang just as I turned onto Cascade Avenue. As I pulled to a stop at the first light in town, I plucked it from the cup holder. At the sight of the name on the screen, I hit accept, putting it on speaker and dropping it back into the holder. "What can I do for you, Sheriff?" I asked. Trace grunted in response.
"Want me to tell Mom you're sassing me when I'm just trying to look out for you?"
I chuckled. "Sassing? I'm not your 6-year-old, remember?"
"Sure are acting like her,"
he shot back. I stuck out my tongue at the phone, even though he couldn't see me.
"You're either flipping me off or sticking out your tongue."
My spine snapped straight as the light changed. "Did you put cameras in my truck or something?" Trace laughed, and it was damn good to hear the sound coming from my eldest brother. He didn't do it much anymore. I wasn't sure if it was the weight of his divorce, managing Keely on his own when he had her, or maybe simply the heaviness that came with his career path. He'd always been more serious than the rest of us, a rule follower. But this was more.
"If you were Keely, I'd have you doing extra chores for that sass,"
Trace said, humor lacing his words. I guided my truck down the main road through town, taking in the flower beds at each corner, with their brightly colored blooms, and the tourists already moseying down the streets to peek in shops. "I already mucked out stalls this morning. Can we call it good?"
"I guess."
Trace paused for a moment, and I braced.
"Got a call late last night. Mrs. Henderson said some kids were playing ding-dong ditch in those creepy scream masks. Checked this morning, and we had a few other reports of the same."
I pumped a fist in the air. "Told you, stupid kids playing pranks."
"There were no other reports of notes."
"Trace," I said, gentling my tone. "If I hadn't been through what I have, I wouldn't have reported the note either." He sighed.
"I guess you have a point there. Still, I talked to the agent at the FBI who has your case."
I sucked in a breath, holding on and not letting go.
"She said there has been no movement, as far as she can tell. Grady Ellison gets exactly one visitor in prison, his mother. She comes once a month. He doesn't use the phone or email. There's no way he was behind this."
Just hearing the name Grady Ellison sent a shiver down my spine. The man who had so carelessly killed my mother, father, and countless others. All for a little extra cash. "That just fits with the prank line of thinking," I said, flipping on my blinker to make the turn toward the gallery. I swallowed hard, steeling myself. "They say anything else?"
"They still have no idea who paid him and why. No idea exactly what cases your father threw, beyond the few they were able to pin down early on. If they had a wider picture, they might be able to track it back to whoever was behind the hits."
I gnashed my back teeth together. If they haven't found out any new information, it doesn't make any sense that whoever was pulling the strings would suddenly come after me all these years later. It's not like I remember anything beyond what I already told them. And that grounded me. I'd played the voice over and over in my head trying to place it, but nothing ever fit. If I had heard it before, it hadn't stuck. The police had found the shoes, a high-priced loafer with waiting lists and $1,000 price tags, but they'd never been able to match the recipients of the shoes in the Boston area with any persons of interest. Trace sighed across the line.
Okay, I'll let up.
Thank you.
I still want you being cautious in case we have this wrong. I've got Cope's place on the deputy's drive-by route, and I want you to keep that location app and ringer on.
I made a grumbling noise in response.
Arden,
Trace warned,
do not make me get Nora and Lolly involved.
Cruel and unusual punishment, I shot back.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Yeah, I promise.
Thank you. Where are you now? I hear your truck.
Detective on the case, I muttered. I'm dropping off a painting at the collective, then heading back home. Think I'm feeling a sculpture calling my name today.
All right, just don't forget about dinner tonight. And I invited Link.
I cursed. I'd forgotten all about Lolly's request for a command performance. Her visit felt like it had happened a lifetime ago, and having Link there would make it that much harder. He saw too much. I'll be there.
Good,
Trace said, then paused.
We just care about you. You know that, right?
My throat constricted, a burning sensation igniting there. I know. Sorry I don't always make it easy.
Screw that noise,
Trace clipped.
You make caring about you as easy as breathing, even when you're being prickly.
My mouth curved the barest amount as I turned into the alley behind the collective. Trace was being too easy on me, too kind, which meant I hated myself more for not being able to give any of them the words and tell them I loved them. It was like if I did, I would know just how much pain I'd be in if I lost any of them. You're the best brother, I whispered. It wasn't enough, but it was all I could give him for now.
I'm gonna tell Cope that.
I barked out a laugh. You trying to get me kicked out of my house?
I'd never.
Trey said, humor lacing his words.
I gotta get back to work, but call or text if you need anything.
Will do, I said. Be safe out there.
Always am.
And with that, Trace hung up. I tried to shake off the conversation as I pulled into an empty spot near the back door of the collective, but the conversation still clung to me. As I put the truck in park, my phone dinged twice. Lifting it from the cup holder, my lips twitched. Your group name is now Arden's Favorite and the Other Ones. Trace.
Arden finally admitted it today. I'm her favorite.
Kai.
Someone check on A. Trace might be torturing her if she lied like this. We all know I'm her favorite.
Cope.
The fuck you say? I'm the only one Arden allows to keep Brutus when she has to go somewhere without him.
Rhodes. You mean you're the most convenient one, since you're a 5-minute walk away? Cope.
Harsh, Roro. That was uncalled for.
Shep.
You can all stop now. I built her art studio, so I'm obviously the favorite.
Fallon. You're all being ridiculous. I know exactly who Arden's favorite is. It's Lolly. Kai.
That's not fair. Lolly's probably bribing her with pot brownies.
I snorted out a laugh. Me. I wouldn't mind the brownies minus the pot. From everything I heard about Ro getting accidentally dosed in college, I'm steering clear. Fallon. You mean this? She sent a video we'd all seen countless times, but it never got old. Rhodes was wandering through Lolly's flower garden, singing and talking to all the flowers. Rhodes. You said you got rid of that, traitor! Fallon. Sorry, I lied. This is too golden not to keep forever. Kai.
Fal is tiny but fierce, and she has way too much blackmail material on all of us.
Fallon. and it would do you all good to remember that when I ask you to volunteer at our back-to-school event in a few weeks." There were some texts of protest, but everyone mostly agreed. When your sister worked for Child Protective Services, how could you say no? Shutting off my engine, I slid out of the cab and motioned for Brutus to follow. Since we were heading straight into the gallery, I didn't bother with a leash, and swore my pup looked up at me with gratitude. The moment I slammed the door, a familiar head of dark hair poked out of the back door. Isaiah grinned as he stepped outside.
"How's the love of my life?"
I made a face. "Just fine, heartbreaker." He strode over to me, crouching to give Brutus some scratches.
"I don't know, I hear you're the heartbreaker. Had Daddy Warbucks at your place this morning."
Isaiah waggled his eyebrows to accentuate the point, and my face flamed. "It's not like that," I muttered.
"Sure it's not."
I flipped him off, and Isaiah just laughed. He pushed to his feet, and I saw the clay smeared across his worn tee.
"Heard you were bringing in a new piece. Need help?"
Gratitude swept through me, not at the offer of help, but because Isaiah was letting it go. He might like to needle me, but he also always had my back. "That would be great. It's not fully dry yet, so we need to be careful." Isaiah gave me a two-finger salute and headed toward the back of my truck. I'd had a cover designed for the bed for situations just like this one. There were times I needed to transport pieces. I couldn't risk getting wet in snow or rain, or in this case, getting dirt or other debris on a still tacky surface. Isaiah started the dance we'd done countless times before, rolling back the cover and reaching into the bed. But he stopped just shy of the painting, glancing up at me.
"Artie, this is incredible."
My face heated again. "Thanks, it's,
different?"
he finished for me. I nodded. "Makes me twitchy." Isaiah grinned over at me.
"If it makes you feel like you're standing naked in front of a crowd, you know it's good. Important."
Says the man who loves being a nude model. He barked out a laugh.
"Fair enough. Come on, let's get her in to dry. People are going to freak over this baby."
That had my stomach flipping. I hoped people would connect to it, but I also wasn't sure I wanted to give the piece up. And that was a problem. We navigated our way to the back door, careful not to run into any vehicles or other roadblocks on the way. When she saw us, Hannah hurried to the screen door. "I've got it. Thanks," I said, glancing over my shoulder to make sure I didn't run into anything. We got the piece inside and onto an easel Denver had left out. I was sure he wanted to photograph it before he moved it into one of the studios to dry.
"Wow,"
Hannah said, her voice going soft.
"This is stunning."
"Thanks, Hanny," I said. She sighed, running a hand through her tangled red waves. "I need to get moving on my piece. I'm behind." When I looked at Hannah this time, I really studied her. There were dark circles under her eyes and paint dotted her fingers. "You doing okay?" She sent me a half-hearted smile.
"I'm struggling with this one."
God. Did I ever know that feeling? "You want me to take a peek? We could talk it out." I hit a wall with this one too, but it finally all came together.
"I can help too,"
Isaiah offered.
"I know I'm a clay man, but art's art, right?"
Hannah beamed at us as if we'd just offered her a bag of diamonds.
"That would be amazing. Thank you."
The bell over the door jingled, and I glanced over to see Denver leading another man inside. It wasn't the reporter from the other day. This man had "slick" written all over him. And money. He wore shiny shoes that made zero sense in the mountains, with black trousers that were perfectly pressed and creased. He'd tucked a crisp white shirt into them and finished the look with a watch rimmed in diamonds. Even his black hair was slick, gelled into artful waves. The man's gaze swept over us, but then went to the painting, staying there.
"Tell me, this is her newest work." "It is,"
Denver said, a grin on his face that looked like a cat who'd snagged a canary. Brutus pressed against my side, a silent check-in and assurance that he had my back. My hand fell to his head, reassuring him.
"Arden, this is Quentin Orison. He wanted to get a look at our offerings before the auction,
Denver said, his grin still in place. The man's gaze cut to me with a sharpness that had me wanting to take a step back. Brutus let out a low growl, and I did nothing to stop it. Quentin's dark brown gaze stayed locked on my face, showing no fear of my dog as he should have.
Arden Waverly. Such a beautiful young woman creates such dark work. Interesting.
He began walking toward me, his steps long and languid. Brutus's hackles rose and he let out another warning growl, louder this time. Quentin's gaze flicked to my dog.
An interesting choice of companion as well.
He's protective, I said, not lowering my gaze. We were surrounded by people, yet my fingers itched to palm the switchblade in my pocket. Quentin arched a brow.
And if I reached out to take your hand?
He wouldn't like it, I gritted out.
Fair enough.
Quentin's focus shifted, studying the painting.
I like it. I'll need it. The blood, it calls to me.
A shiver ran over my skin as nausea settled in my stomach. I did not want my precious painting in this man's hands, especially when he missed the point of it altogether. He turned back to me.
Let me take you to dinner. You can tell me about my piece.
The fact that he spoke of my painting like it was already his had anger flickering to life in me. I'll pass. Annoyance and more than a little heat surged to life in Quentin's eyes.
I am quite the collector. I think you'll want to reconsider that.
Not worried about collectors, I told him honestly. You either got my art or you didn't. I wouldn't waste my breath trying to explain what I created to people who only wanted to judge it. A muscle ticked in Quentin's cheek.
I could open a lot of doors for you, Arden. You don't want to lose that opportunity.
I opened my mouth to tell the douchebag to get bent, but didn't get a chance because a new voice cut through the air, one that held a fury so cold it burned, one I recognized.
I believe she said no.
XXI. Lincoln. Fury coursed through me in rippling waves so cold it was a miracle I wasn't spitting ice. That was the thing about me when I got angry. I didn't erupt, didn't rage. I got ruthless, because if you harmed someone I cared about, there was no going back. The smarmy bastard turned in my direction, holding up both hands in mock surrender. My apologies, I didn't know the lady was spoken for. I'm not, Arden ground out, purple fire blazing in those hypnotizing eyes. But that doesn't mean I want to go to dinner. The man chuckled, but I didn't miss the bite to it, or the way his eyes narrowed on Arden in a manner that said he didn't care for her rejection. A challenge. I can respect that. Not a challenge, a final answer, Arden corrected, squaring her shoulders, fingers fluttering at her side. A smile stretched across my lips because I knew she was debating pulling her blade. God, I wanted her to. Wanted to watch this stunning woman put that bastard on his ass. The man simply made a humming noise. Enjoy your tour, Arden muttered, turning away from him in a clear dismissal. Damn, she was a show all on her own, the most entertaining one I'd ever encountered. The man's eyes flashed in anger, but Denver stepped in to coddle him. The gallery manager gestured toward the hallway. I'd love to show you the studio space and the pieces we have stored for the auction. For a second, I thought the man wouldn't go. Thought I might have to step in and remove him. But he finally followed Denver, the two disappearing down the dark hallway. I glared after them until clapping started. I glanced over at my sister, who was grinning as she gave Arden a standing ovation. You are a thing of beauty, Ellie said. Arden turned back to faces, wisps of hair falling from the bun piled atop her head. Not a fan of creeps. Then she glanced at me. What are you doing here? There was a wariness in the question, a challenge. She wanted to know if I was checking up on her. I wouldn't cross the line she'd drawn, not when I knew how much Arden's freedom meant to her. Ellie wanted to see the gallery and some of your work. Arden's shoulders relaxed a fraction, but I could tell she was still on edge. The urge to go to her and pull her into my arms was almost too strong for me to bear. Isaiah shot a grin in my sister's direction. Ellie, is it? I could give you a tour. I'm the true artist of this bunch. She let out a soft giggle, but flashed her hand with the ring on it. I'm afraid I might make your tour more boring than you typically like. Isaiah sighed. It's just a day of rejection all around. I guess I'll have to settle for best friend status. Looking between you and Mr. Chiseljaw, I'll break you if you look at Arden wrong. I'm guessing you're related?
He's my big brother,
Ellie said with a grin. Well, welcome to Sparrow Falls and the Collective. Isaiah moved in, offering Ellie his arm. She took it, and he began leading her around the room, talking about each piece on display. The fair redhead glanced at Arden.
Are you okay?
Arden sent her a reassuring smile.
I'm good.
The woman studied her for a moment as if making sure, then nodded.
I'm going to take another stab at my painting. Just holler if you need me.
And then she was gone. Arden stared at me for a long moment.
No assassins, only douchebags.
I wanted to smile, to give her that, but I couldn't. No one should be pushing you for something you don't want to give, making you feel uncomfortable in your place of work, thinking they can buy you. And as I spoke, I realized that's what Arden had thought I was trying to do that day in her art studio. The knowledge made me sick. As if she'd read my mind, Arden crossed the space in four long strides.
You are nothing like him. Never were. He's not the first person who has thought their money could buy more than my art.
I bit down on the inside of my cheek so hard I tasted blood. But it was the only option I had. If I didn't, I'd be demanding to know the name of every bastard who'd suggested as much, and coming up with some very creative ways to ruin them.
Breathe, cowboy,
Arden whispered. She reached out, her fingers sliding through mine and squeezing.
I'm just fine. And I have flipped someone on their ass for crossing the line. You don't need to worry about me.
My free hand lifted, ghosting over the side of her face. Just because I don't need to worry about you doesn't mean I won't. Ellie leaned into the buckskin, pressing her forehead to whiskies and breathing deeply. My little sister shouldn't look like she belonged in the mountains of Oregon, on a property that looked more ranch than anything else, but she did. And more than that, she looked more at peace than I'd seen her in years. That knowledge had a grinding sensation picking up in my sternum. I wanted that peace for Ellie, not just for a few fleeting moments, but always. She pulled back from the horse, but scratched beneath Whiskey's chin.
Okay, after the full Sparrow Falls experience, I get it. I can see why you love it here.
There was a wistfulness in Ellie's voice that only had the grinding sensation intensifying. You could stay, I offered. Ellie's brows rose.
There's too much to do for the wedding, and Bradley needs me for some business dinners.
I couldn't help the scowl that twisted my mouth.
Con con,
Ellie whispered, a pleading note in her voice. I met my sister's gaze and finally asked her the question I'd wanted to since the moment they'd gotten engaged. Do you love him?
Yes,
she said instantly. But there was no joy in the word. So I asked another question, possibly the most important one. Are you happy? Ellie's gaze shifted away from me and back to Whiskey.
I don't think anyone's happy all the time.
That's fair. Are you happy most of the time? Is your life what you want it to be? Ellie's pale green eyes glittered as tears filled them.
I don't know.
Elbel. I moved into her then, wrapping her in a hug like I'd done countless times before. You deserve to have the life you want, whatever that is. She sniffed, trying to rein in the tears.
I don't know what I want, and it feels like I hurt someone with every direction I move.
I gripped her tighter. Ignore everyone but yourself, just for a minute. What would make you happy? Ellie pulled back.
I can't just ignore them. Their happiness is linked to mine, and whatever steps I take could mean some of those people aren't in my life anymore.
If you're this uncertain, do you really think you should be getting married in a few months? I asked, keeping my voice as gentle as I could. Ellie's spine straightened.
It's just cold feet. This is a big life change. It's understandable that I'm nervous.
Sure, it's natural to be nervous, but I want to make sure you aren't doing this just because Dad wants you to. This is your life. And God, I didn't want her to waste it on anyone who didn't deserve her. Ellie brushed some dirt off her pants, evidence that perhaps this wasn't her world.
It is my life. And it's important to me not to lose my dad when I already don't have a mom. And it's important to me not to lose you.
I saw it then, what this trip really was. Ellie wanted to know that she wouldn't lose me when she submerged herself in the life I'd run from. She was doing whatever she could to hold on to everyone, even at great cost to herself. Told you, Elbel, you'll never lose me. Never. I promise. Her shoulders sagged in relief.
Thanks, Con-Con.
Ellie's relief was an ice pick to the chest, just like it would be when she walked away tomorrow and headed back to that viper's den. And all I would be able to do was pray that her path didn't take the same route as our mother's.
22. Arden. I sat in my truck, staring up at the house I'd spent half my life in. The large, rambling farmhouse was still in impeccable condition. Nora wouldn't have it any other way. But it wasn't in a quest to be perfect, the way I often felt my mother had been. This was an appreciation for everything she had. Nora was a caretaker through and through, from plants to buildings to human beings. She nurtured everything that crossed her path, and I'd been no different. But something about that nurturing made me twitchy. The need to run fast and far humming beneath my skin. And I knew what fueled it. Fear. Because the more I let the nurturing, care, and love in, the more I had to lose. So I sat in my truck, staring at the farmhouse, its white siding and massive front porch, boards carrying generation after generation of stories. Countless heart-to-hearts in those rockers, or on one of the porch swings. Losses and triumphs, pain and joy, all of it mixed together in the most beautiful painting I'd ever seen. Gravel crunched beside my truck and my hand instantly went to the blade at my belt.
Can I keep my neck intact this time?
A deep voice asked. My fingers released the handle of the switchblade. You know, your stalker tendencies are really showing. Link chuckled, the rasp of it sending a delicious shiver through me as he shifted to look down at me.
I was just innocently taking a call, but couldn't help but wonder if you were going inside or planning to just stare at the house all night.
Annoyance flitted through me at the challenge of Link's words and the fact that he'd seen me as I'd done silent battle with a damn house. Just needed a minute. That had Link's demeanor changing instantly.
Are you okay? Did something happen?
Breathe, cowboy, I said as I glanced up at him, Link's concern wrapping around me like an echo of his embrace. It wasn't quite as good as one of his hugs, but it didn't suck. I'm just not the best with big groups. Link studied me for a moment.
So you said, you going to be okay?
I'm fine, I muttered. The problem was that my family knew me best. They saw things I could usually hide from the rest of the world. And there was no denying the events of late had me rattled. That reporter, the note, but most of all, Link.
Pulling on a mask?
He asked. His voice held no judgment. There was simply a desire to understand. I appreciated that. More like trying to find inner calm. I like spending time with them. I do. It's just...
It's a lot coming at you all at once,
Link suggested. I nodded, one corner of my mouth kicking up. It is, but it's affectionate chaos. Link chuckled.
Been here 15 minutes and I can already tell that.
His fingers curled around my door handle.
You ready?
There was something about the question and gesture. It was as if Link would wait here all night with me if I needed him to. But it was also more. It was the fact that I had someone to walk into the farmhouse with. I wouldn't have to deal with the wave of people alone. It helped. "Ready as I'll ever be," I mumbled, pulling my key out of the ignition. Link opened the door and held it for me and Brutus. The moment Brutus was out, Link bent to give him a scratch behind the ears.
"You've been keeping her in line today."
I let out a soft scoff. "Tried and failed, most likely." Link's gaze lifted to me.
"Can't rein her in. Too wild for that. But that's how you were meant to be."
That twitchy sensation was back, and it wasn't just because Link saw me. It was because he saw who I wanted to be. "Tell that to Trace. I'm pretty sure he wants to inject me with one of those tracker things." Link barked out a laugh.
"That's one way to play it."
I started toward the house and he fell into step beside me. The gravel drive was littered with my siblings' vehicles. SUVs, trucks, Fallon's hatchback. The only one I didn't see was Trace's. My gaze slid over them to the ranch land spread out around us and the beautiful view. I took a second to remember the peace this place had always given me, the safety, and sent up a silent thanks to whatever greater being had put me here. Glancing over at Link, I knew that had tugged him here too. That feeling of peace, the quiet beauty. "Where's Ellie?" I asked as we walked up the front path. A smile tugged at Link's beautiful mouth, surrounded by scruff.
"Already inside, making your family her new best friends."
That tracked. In the handful of minutes I'd spent with Ellie, she seemed like pure sunshine. And I was sure she was already being brought into the fold. But as I looked at Link, I saw something in those bewitching green-gold eyes. I saw pain. My steps faltered. "What's wrong?" Link shook his head.
"Nothing."
"Cowboy," I said, pinning him with a stare. "Don't insult my intelligence." Link scrubbed a hand over his face.
"She's not happy."
A lead weight settled in my stomach. "What do you mean?"
"She's living for everyone's happiness but hers. Her fiancé's, our dad's, mine. I'm worried she's caging herself in a world that will bring her a lifetime of living for others."
I could hear the anxiety and pain swirling in Link's words, the concern for his sister. That care made a home in my chest, digging in deep. "You're worried she's going to put herself in the same position your mom was in." It was a guess, but when Link's head lifted, his hazel gaze had gone stormy, and I knew I was right. The storm clouds swirled in Link's eyes in a mixture of agony and fear.
"I don't want her to live in a prison of her own making. She deserves so much better than that. She's the most giving and kind person I've ever known, and I don't want them to change her, or worse, make her fade away."
I moved into Link's space then, sliding my fingers through his and holding tight. "I've only been in your sister's presence for about 20 minutes, but I can tell she's a fighter. She's not about to let anyone steal that light. But you need to give her the freedom to figure it out on her own. All you can do is be there when she needs you." Link's hold on my hand tightened as if I were his lifeline.
"I know. It's so fucking hard. And it brings up ghosts."
I moved again, tugging my hand free so I could wrap my arms around his waist. I wanted to give Link a little of what he'd given me when I got that nasty note. I wanted to give him the feeling of safety, of not being alone. I might not be the best at finding the right words, but I could give him this. Link's arms wound around me as he pulled me tighter against his chest. I breathed deeply as he held on.
"Cherries,"
he muttered. "Cherries?
You smell like cherries and a touch of jasmine. Best damn scent I've ever smelled. You could bottle it and make millions."
I tipped my head back so I could look up at Link. The billionaire would be looking at business opportunities, even now. One side of his mouth kicked up in a crooked grin.
"Never going to ignore an opportunity when it's presented."
His hand lifted and brushed some hair out of my face.
"Thank you,"
Link's hand stilled. His fingers tangled in my hair as his thumb grazed the side of my face. The rough pad of it sent shivers cascading through me. My gaze locked on his, and I felt my whole body lean in, craving more. As my lips parted, I swore I could taste him on my tongue. Just one tiny move, and his mouth would be on mine. The slightest lean in, and I would know if Link tasted as good as I imagined. One moment, and...
Well, what do we have here? My girl finally getting herself some?
23. Arden. My face flamed with heat as Lolly's voice cut through the early evening air, but Link made no move to let me go. I tugged myself out of his arms, instantly missing the warmth that was only his. A feeling more grounded and real than anything I'd ever felt before. And that scared the hell out of me.
Now don't you two stop on my account, Lolly said, a grin spreading across her face. Can I recommend the barn for a little horizontal tango? The hayloft is surprisingly comfortable.
Lolly, I hissed.
What?
She asked innocently, throwing up her hands and making the bracelets around her wrists jangle. She wore a hilariously adorable outfit, a brightly colored floral skirt paired with bedazzled sandals with little mushrooms on them. They complemented her t-shirt perfectly. The top had an array of rainbow mushrooms and read MMILF in big blocky letters, while smaller script spelled out the acronym Magic Mushroom I Like to Forage.
You know what, I chastised. Did Trace lose his mind at your shirt?
Lolly's lips twitched.
My stick-in-the-mud grandson was not a fan, but I just reminded him that psychedelic mushrooms are legal in Oregon now. He needs to open his mind.
Link chuckled.
You growing your own?
Lolly beamed at him.
Interest without judgment. I knew I liked you.
I'd try,
Link said, grinning at her.
No mushrooms for me, but I do have 12 different strains of marijuana. I could set up a taste test for you. Lolly!
I cut her off, warning in my tone. Let's go inside. She sent a scowl in my direction.
I didn't think you'd be the one to ruin my fun.
But she hauled open the door and headed into the house. Link dipped his head to whisper in my ear as we climbed the steps.
Buzzkill.
I choked on a laugh but smacked his stomach with the back of my hand. You wouldn't be saying that if you accidentally got dosed. Happened to Rhodes in college thanks to Lolly's pot brownies. She ended up rolling around in a field of flowers and declaring she was meant to be a daisy, not a girl. Link's laughter was full out this time, the kind I wanted to grab hold of and never let go.
I'll keep that in mind. No brownies from Lolly.
Smart choice. As we headed inside, Brutus trotting alongside beside us, the sound of beautiful chaos rose. Conversations and the shrieks of Keeley's laughter. As we stepped into the living room, all eyes were pinned on us. I hated the attention, but gritted my teeth, knowing it would pass. A hand found the small of my back, strong and steady. The heat from Link's palm bled into me, letting me know he wasn't going anywhere. And God, I wanted to sink into that reassurance and let someone be strong for me for once.
Itchy Arden,
Keeley squealed, making a beeline for me. When she was a few steps away, she launched herself. I caught her with an oomph and spun her in a circle. Did you grow on me? She giggled.
I don't think so, but Dad only measures me on my birthday so we can put the mark on the wall.
God, Trace was a good dad. I bet there'll be a big jump this year. Her dark brown pigtails with big bows on the ends bobbed in a nod.
I'll be able to go on so many more rides at the fair.
She glanced up at Link curiously.
Are you my Auntie Arden's boy toy?
Kai let out a strangled sound and then started coughing as he straightened on the couch. Fallon leaned over and started patting his back. Careful, wouldn't want you to choke to death. Shep sent Lolly an amused look from where he and his girlfriend Thea sat curled in a massive overstuffed chair.
You know, Trace will kill you if she starts calling kids boy toys in the first grade.
Lolly shrugged.
It's better than bleep, buddy.
Kai started coughing all over again. Rhodes grinned at Lolly. You're going to off Kai if you're not careful. She frowned at her grandson.
Never expected you to have such a delicate disposition.
Keeley's gaze pinballed around the room.
What's a bleep, buddy?
Ah, Jesus,
Shep muttered.
Someone tell Treese I had nothing to do with this.
I pressed my lips together to keep from laughing. It's nothing, Keels. Now tell me, who did these beautiful braids for you? Trace had worked hard to master simple braids and a couple of other hairstyles, but nothing he did was this fancy. These were intricate, something I had no idea how to do either. But Keely beamed up at me and cast her arm wide, pointing to the kitchen.
My new bestie, Ellie?
Link's sister stood in the kitchen next to Nora, where it appeared she was chopping vegetables. She waved. That's me, bestie extraordinaire. She gave Keely a wink. Never pass up an excuse to make a girl feel like the queen she is. Keely giggled, then wiggled to be let down, making a beeline for her new friend. Something about it made my heart ache. My niece was the sweetest kid known to man and deserved someone who would give her those over-the-top braids whenever she wanted.
So,
Kai said, kicking his scarred motorcycle boots up on the coffee table and glancing at me.
Try to kill Link lately?
All my siblings burst into laughter, but a concerned Nora crossed the space looking between us. Kill Link? Heat hit my cheeks, but it was Link who stepped in.
Just a little innocent mishap, hardly bled at all.
Bled? Nora gaped, her eyes going wide. Rhodes just grinned from the arm of the couch as Anson gazed up at her adoringly. I gotta admit, I feel safer having Arden around, even if she is a little violent.
Says the woman who threatens to deball anyone who even sends a scowl in the general direction of someone she loves.
Anson said, amusement lacing his words. She stuck out her tongue at him. I only threaten castration to those who really deserve it. Anson shook his head.
I really am going to have to build you a murder shed, aren't I?
She leaned over, giving him a quick kiss. You might. Lolly frowned at the two of them.
Now why would you want to get rid of a perfectly good set of balls?
Lolly! A chorus of voices shouted. Nora covered her face. I'm so sorry, Link. Ellie, I'd like to tell you she isn't normally like this, but it would be a complete lie. I love it, Ellie called from the kitchen. Lolly's my girl.
Dang straight, Lolly called back. You want to hit up the cowboy bar with me later?
Ellie laughed. I don't think I could keep up with you.
But you'd have fun trying.
Lolly sing-songed and then looked at Link.
You know, I think you'd look pretty good in a pair of Wranglers and a cowboy hat. What do you say?
Link looked slightly terrified at the prospect of Lolly dressing him up and taking him out. I patted his chest. Don't worry, I'll protect you. He glanced down, amusement dancing in his hazel eyes.
I do feel safer knowing you've got that switchblade.
Oh, that won't save her, Lolly called back. I've been getting Kai to teach me on the side.
Lolly took up an elaborate fighting stance that didn't look like any martial art I'd ever seen while calling out some sort of battle cry. Kai dropped his face into his hands.
Please don't tell anyone I'm your trainer.
Rude.
Lolly huffed, then eyed Link again.
Okay, you're not ready for the cowboy bar. How about a little one-on-one sparring?
She waggled her eyebrows. Link grabbed my shoulders and moved me so my body was in front of his.
You said you'd protect me, right?
A laugh bubbled out of me, light and free. I don't know now. Pretty sure Lolly could kick my ass. Movement caught my attention, and I looked over to see Nora with her hand hovering over her mouth, her eyes misty. My stomach sank. Are you okay? She shook her head, waving a hand in front of her face. I'm fine. She croaked. It's just, I haven't heard you laugh like that in a long time. My insides twisted as guilt dug in. I'd worried her, the woman who'd given me everything. I hated myself a little for that. Nora's hand lifted to my cheek. I'm happy. Love seeing you like this.
I swallowed, then nodded quickly. "Lincoln?" Lolly called, breaking the moment and saving me from an overload of emotion the way she often did. "I want to make you a welcome to Sparrow Falls gift. What do you say?" Link eyed her warily.
"As long as it's not special brownies, I'm in."
"I want special brownies!"
Keely yelled from the kitchen. Nora pinched the bridge of her nose. "Trace is never going to leave her with me again."
"Where is he?"
I asked. "He got a call out, break-in at the clinic. I think they were looking for pain medication."
I winced. Dr. Avery would not be pleased about that.
"Excuse me," Lolly cut in. "Lincoln and I have artistic vision to discuss. I specialize in diamond art." A series of groans lit the air from my siblings, except for Rhodes, who looked positively giddy. "Don't let these cynics get you down. You know I love my dick flower."
"Yeah, you love it so much it hangs over our mantle,"
Anson muttered. Link coughed, trying to clear his throat.
"I'm sorry, did they say dick flower?"
Thea grinned from next to Shep.
"They did. I got a penis gourd painting."
"Don't forget Sutton's phallic pile of pastries," Fallon added.
"I think this scares me more than one-on-one sparring with her,"
Link said, lowering his voice. Kai leaned forward, cupping his mouth in a stage whisper.
"It should."
"Oh, don't be such a prude," Lolly snapped. "So, Lincoln, what speaks to you more? A fairy thruple vibe, or perhaps I could do something interesting with hockey pucks?"
"Don't forget the elves doing it on horseback option,"
Kai offered.
"What's a thruple?"
Keely asked in her most innocent voice. Everyone froze, silence blanketing us. And then the room erupted into laughter. Link dropped his head to my shoulder, covering his laughter with my body.
"I gotta tell you, Vicious, I love your family."
I did too. But more than that, I felt like I belonged for the first time in a while. Somehow, Link made me feel that way. I stood at the fence waiting as my favorite mare made her way over. Sunny was just what her name suggested, a ray of sun in animal form. She'd been born on the ranch not long after I arrived. She'd help you round up cattle or take you on the gentlest trail ride, whatever you wanted, as long as you asked nicely. And she was the one who'd taught me about horses. Sunny moved toward me slowly, letting out a sound I was sure meant, "Where the heck have you been?" The moment she was within reach, I stretched out to stroke her face. "I'm sorry, girl. I'll make it a point to stop by more often." I bent down and pressed my face to hers, letting our connection bleed into me. Even if tonight had gone better than I ever could have hoped, it was still a lot for me. I needed these moments of quiet to recenter, calm. And the horses always gave me that. Animals in general helped, but horses most of all. They had a wisdom you couldn't find in any other creature, an emotional astuteness that made you feel like they could see right into your soul. "She loves you." I turned at the sound of Ellie's voice, my mouth curving. "We've known each other since she was born." Ellie moved to the fence line with the same grace she'd had when she arrived at Cope's. She wore a sundress with elaborate stitching, half a dozen gold necklaces around her neck, and delicate gold sandals. But her hair was tied into a messy bun atop her head, and I saw a smudge of dirt on her shoulder from the after-dinner game of hide-and-seek Keely had tucked her into. Ellie was artful beauty, and I don't give a damn authenticity. It was a mixture completely unique to her, and I admired the hell out of it. She slowly lifted a hand, offering it to Sunny. The mare sniffed once, twice, and then leaned into Ellie's touch. Ellie stroked the horse's face, reading each reaction to see what the creature liked and didn't. "You're good with them. Some people come on too strong, but you wait for them to come to you." Ellie's mouth curved slightly. "Maybe I was a cowgirl in another life." I studied her for a moment. "Why can't you be one in this life?" Ellie went quiet, as if some battle was playing out inside her. "Do you ever feel like your life has been laid out in front of you, and there are no moves left to play?"
My muscles stiffened, tightening around every bone in my body. There are always moves left to play. Ellie kept her gaze locked on Sunny, continuing to stroke. Not for me, there's not. The grief of that hit me square in the chest, and I could see what Link was terrified of now. He worried this bright light would be dimmed, or worse, snuffed out entirely. If you think there are no moves left, then topple the damn board. Start fresh. Ellie's eyes lifted, her gaze finally meeting mine, a sad smile lining her lips.
Just that easy, huh?
Just that easy. She shifted and glanced up at the farmhouse. It's nice that you have this. Link and me, our family, it was never even close to this. That twisting sensation intensified. Sometimes having the hard, painful, and the lack makes us appreciate when we find the good. It allows us to value it, to hold on and never let go. Ellie's eyes misted.
I'm glad you found that.
I reached out and squeezed her hand. You'll find it too. You just have to step into the darkness. Her throat worked as she swallowed.
I don't know if I'm brave enough for that.
Maybe not today, but one day you will be. You just need to keep trying until you're ready. Ellie nodded, then looked out at all the horses.
One day.
I glanced back up at the house, and that's when I saw him standing in the shadows of the darkened evening, watching. Worry and pain swirled in those hypnotic eyes, and I knew Link was battling those demons tonight.
24. Lincoln. I kicked back in one of the chairs on Cope's back patio and stared into the night as if it held all the answers to my problems. And maybe it did if I stared long and hard enough. If not, that's why I had bourbon. My fingers curved around the glass as if it could reassure me. I lifted it, tipping back a sip and letting the flavors of plum and cinnamon play on my tongue. The heat tracked down my throat, warming me from the inside. And that was a good thing, given the cold set in once the sun sank behind the mountains. But the cold helped too. It numbed the edges, just not enough. And the bourbon wouldn't either, not even if I downed the whole bottle. I didn't hear her until she lowered herself into the chair next to mine. Brutus instantly sat at her feet as she switched off a small flashlight. The moon was almost full, casting Arden in a glow that any artist would kill to paint. She eased into the chair, pulling her knees up and curling her body. "What you got there?" She voiced the words without looking, simply staring out at the horizon. I wanted to chide her for walking over here in the dark, even with Brutus and her training, but I couldn't stop staring. I took in how the moonlight danced across the apples of her cheeks, revealing the scattering of tiny freckles there, and the way her body curved like a goddamn sculpture, one I wanted to trace with my fingers and tongue. "Fuck. Bourbon," I rasped. Arden's gaze came to me then, a small smile playing on her lips. "Didn't take you for a bourbon drinker." "What did you think was my drink?" I was suddenly curious what she would peg me with, but I was curious about everything she thought, every wild thing that swirled in her beautiful mind. Her smile widened a fraction. "I don't know. Champagne? Some ridiculously expensive scotch?" I took a sip, letting the flavors swirl and heat again, then set the glass on the arm of my chair. "If it makes you feel any better, this is ridiculously expensive Kentucky bourbon." Arden laughed, the sound wrapping around me and digging in. "It's a comfort to know I'm right about some things." She reached over and took the glass. Lifting it to her lips, she tipped it back. The sip wasn't small, but she wasn't shooting it either. She wanted to experience everything the bourbon had to offer. I could admire that approach. I watched as she swallowed, her throat working on the action. A hint of wetness remained on her lips as she pulled the glass away. I'd never been jealous of an inanimate object before, but damn, I was jealous of the bourbon in that moment. She set the glass back on the arm of my chair. So, you want to tell me why you're glaring into the dark? I didn't look away from her, couldn't if I tried. Only if you tell me why you went looking for me there. Arden stared back at me for a long moment as if she could read every thought in my head. Saw shadows in your eyes tonight, ones I recognized. Didn't want you to be alone with those demons, at least not if you didn't want to be. God, she was a kick to the solar plexus. Her brash honesty, her authenticity, her kindness. You were right earlier. I'm worried Ellie will end up like my mom. Just saying the words out loud was both freeing and agonizing, because once they were out there, it was as if there was more of a chance of them coming true. Arden shifted, her whole body turning to face mine. Does she know what your mom went through? What your dad put her through? Right to the heart of the matter, always picking up on the most important details. My fingers curled around the rocks glass. No. Arden's mouth thinned.
Why not?
I'd thought about it more times than I could count. It might fix some things, but it would break far more. She was so young when it happened, too young to really remember a lot of the bad times.
Are you sure about that?
Arden asked. I braced, my fingers tightening around the glass. What do you mean? She shifted slightly and glanced up at the main house, as if looking for Ellie, checking if it was okay for her to share. But there was nothing but moonlight.
We talked a little tonight. She seemed to know that her family life growing up and now were lacking.
An invisible fist ground into my sternum. I'd worked so hard to protect Ellie and give her a safe place to run to whenever she needed. It wasn't enough. Arden's brow furrowed.
What wasn't?
Me. The pain of that one word was almost too much to take. Pain swept through Arden's eyes, but quick on its heels was heat.
That's bullshit.
Excuse me?
You heard me. That's bullshit. It takes 2 seconds of seeing you two together to know you're her safe place to land. She feels safe with you.
Then why the hell won't she stay? She's going back to New York tomorrow, back to that dick weasel, Bradley, and our dad. Arden's lips twitched.
I'm sorry, did you just say dick weasel?
Maybe I should ask Lolly for that painting, I muttered. Arden choked on a laugh.
That would be a sight.
We were quiet for a moment, but neither of us looked away. And there was comfort in the simple connection, the contact of it. I've looked after her my whole life. It kills me that I can't protect her now. Shield her, I said, the words quiet in the night air. Arden's face softened.
You've been more father than brother.
Maybe.
But at some point you have to let her fly, test her wings. She's stronger than you think. She'll figure it out.
I knew Arden was right. Knew I couldn't make these decisions for Ellie. She had to find the path herself, but I worried about the wolves lining it. Ones who could twist her life into something unrecognizable. I just keep seeing my mom's accident over and over in my head. I admitted. Arden hugged her knees to her chest.
I know that feeling. It's like you can't escape it, no matter what you do.
I lifted my chin in agreement. Ran 10 miles in Cope's gym tonight, didn't even touch it.
Do you think telling Ellie might help?
She asked softly.
This is a lot to hold on your own. A lot to pretend you don't know. Holding it in is eating you alive. I saw that when you were sparring in Kai's gym.
My back teeth ground together, annoyance and frustration swirling, because she was right. I knew it was eating me alive. This infectious secret tainted everything around me, but giving voice to it felt like I'd be blowing Ellie's world sky high.
I'm scared of the dark,
Arden said suddenly. I blinked a few times, pulling those pieces together, understanding why that was. Being locked in a hidden closet while watching your mom slip away right in front of your eyes and being powerless to help her, feeling the terror that you were going to die along with her. That would cement fear in anyone. Now I knew why there were lights everywhere in Arden's orbit. Nightlights, automatic lights outside her house and workshop, flashlights in the junk drawer in her kitchen. But here's the thing about the dark. It's only scary until you turn on the light. She pulled a set of keys from her pocket and flipped on what was a surprisingly bright mini flashlight. She flipped the beam off but didn't look away from me. Pull everything out into the light. Maybe it'll feel like less to hold if you trust Ellie to carry it with you. Arden pushed to her feet but didn't retreat like I expected her to. Instead, she moved deep into my space, walking right up to my chair, her legs bracketing mine. She placed her hands on the arms of the chair and bent. All I could do was watch and wait as my fingers itched to grab her, to pull her onto my lap or take her against the chair. All I knew was that I wanted to drown in Arden. Her hair tumbled around us, the strands teasing my chest. I smelled cherries and the promise of all that was her. I didn't breathe, didn't move. Wouldn't risk a damn thing until I knew which way she'd tip. Her lips pressed to the corner of my mouth in a feather-light touch. It was the barest contact, yet my body went wired. Every nerve ending stood at attention, yearning for more of the drug that was Arden. She straightened slowly, her eyes never leaving mine. It was as if I was losing her and getting it all at the very same time. Pleasure and pain warred with each other, just like in her painting.
You're not alone. Not if you don't want to be.
And with that, she walked away, flashlight on and Brutus trailing after her. But I was still frozen to the spot, gripped by a touch that was barely a kiss. My tongue flicked over the place where Arden's lips had been, needing more of everything that was her. A groan slipped free. That taste, sunshine, bourbon, and cherries on the darkest night. Arden might have told me to turn on the lights, but she didn't know that she'd already done that for me with her presence alone.
25. Arden. Angry voices screamed from the speakers, so loud I could hear them above my blowtorch. But more than that, I could feel them, and I needed that. It was as if the music and art were outlets for feelings I wasn't ready to process. Feelings that were springing to life because of Link. And I was pissed as all hell about it, but I still wanted more, and that craving seared the crap out of me. So I'd done what I did best. I avoided. I took whiskey and stardust for long rides, locked myself in my studio, and helped Denver prep for the auction and show. If I saw Link anywhere in my vicinity, I went the other way. I was a chicken, and I knew it. All because of one single kiss. Switching off the blowtorch, I stepped back and lifted my mask, studying the piece. Something about using scrap metal as both canvas and paint spoke to me, connected on a primal level, because in many ways, entering the system had felt like I was carelessly tossed away trash, until the Coulsons took me in and showed me what I could truly be. The same could be said for the woman currently being cast out of the rubble. I could see the strains of the past few weeks in her. I could see notes of Ellie, Link, and me. She was a blend of all of it. Her head tipped back in an open-mouthed scream as a hand stretched up, reaching toward the light, trying to break free. But chains and locks held her feet, keeping her imprisoned. It wasn't a piece I could picture sitting in anyone's foyer. It was anything but peaceful.